ever tried watching your athlete's game from anywhere in the world? With Replayer, you actually can. I had a friend watch his son's game live from his flight. My son watched a live game from the car while we were driving up the California coast. It doesn't matter where you are, grandparents across the country, cousins on the other side of the world, teammates who just moved away, set up the camera, hit go live, and everyone with a link is right there on the sideline. Live streaming is free. Unlimited games, unlimited teams, unlimited users. No complex tiers. Everyone gets access. And forget waiting hours for footage. I recorded a 60-minute game, and it was ready in 5 minutes. Players were clipping highlights on the ride home. One camera, made in the USA, unlimited everything. If you never want to miss those moments, head to replayer.com. The link is in the show notes. Hey soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of TeamPlayer's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give TeamPlayer a look.
Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them.
And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order.
And welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This week, I have CJ with DFW United. He is a independent club on the west side of town of DFW, and if you're looking for a club, this might be the club for you, so go check them out. Before I say too much more, let's start this chat and head to the pitch.
Thank you very much for having me on. CJ Sutherland with DFW United, based out of Keller, Hazlet area on the west side of the airport. We've had DFW United now for 8 years, and it's been an absolute whirlwind of emotions and a whirlwind of enjoyment, and long may it continue.
Awesome. Let's start a little bit about your background with the game. So tell me your experience with the game. Let's talk about and how you got into coaching and starting DFW United.
Well, my love for, obviously, it sounds like everybody else from Scotland, and my love for the game really started when I was as ever since I could walk, to be really honest with you. And then my dad was a player, my uncles were a player. Obviously, everybody knows that I'm a massive Glasgow Rangers fan, and going to the games and just the upbringing that I had, I was so lucky because instead of coming back, going on the PlayStation and playing the Xbox, we were out to 9 o'clock at night playing, I was going to say football there, but playing soccer in the street, in the driveway. And you know, my mum had to, honestly, get back in the house. You got to get ready for bed. You got school tomorrow. I had to be forced to. I've loved this game for so long. And now kind of looking back, I've been very lucky, to be really honest with you. I started off with Willie Milano when he had the Tejanos, and then I moved on to the Texans set up when the Texans took off, and when we had the, back then it was the regional league, and then the DA came in, and then that's when I was picked up to go play for the Houston Dynamo Academy. And then from there, and one of my biggest regrets is not going to university in the States. I chased the other avenue of getting into Europe and going and playing. When you're that age, you're chasing that feeling, and then I stuck to it and I didn't look back. So I've been very, very lucky to have the mindset to, and the coaches that I've had and the clubs that I've played in to get to where I am now. And now that I'm coaching, it makes you look back and think, I said this a while ago, I was like, I just want to thank every coach that I came across. And about 8 years ago, I just finished my contract in Finland, and I was bouncing around a lot, to be honest with you. I was 6 months there, 6 months there, I was a year there, I was back in the States, I was back in Europe, and I was back in the States again. And I just said to myself, I just looked up and I was like, give me a sign what I'm supposed to do. And that next day I got a phone call to start coaching for the Dallas Texans, and I looked at it as my sign to move on, and I started coaching.
Awesome. So you started DFW United 8 years ago. I know your dad's heavily involved with this. So is that where it all started? Was this the two of you, or was it this your idea, to bring it forward?
Well, my dad was working for Odyssey at the time, and unfortunately I left the Dallas Texans from the coaching side, and thanks to Paul and Paddy, it gave us an opportunity to come in and coach kids. But it grew so fast with how many kids I was starting to develop. So one day I had a close group of friends, and I was like, guys, I'm thinking about starting my own thing, but I'm going to need help. I'm going to need admins. I'm going to need managers. And my friends took a leap of faith. I only had 4 kids or something like that, because obviously I never had the commitment from all the parents, because they didn't know what was coming and all that kind of thing. But it was more, I spoke to my dad about it. Dad, I really think that we should take a risk here. This was way before COVID, obviously, and before ECNL and before all that. It was the kind of old school way. But I said, Dad, I really think that we should take a risk here. And I ended up taking a leap of faith, and I started DFW United. And the first guy I brought in was my dad, obviously. He's my right-hand man. He's always been that for me, and I thought it was important to have somebody that I trust, and there's who else I trust, my father. I started that, and we've never really looked back since, to be quite honest with you.
That's awesome. So now within the club, let's break it down a little bit more. What age groups do you all have? What's the youngest and what's the oldest?
Youngest age group as of now is 2016s, and we have all the way up to 2008s. So we've got 8s, we've got 9s. We've got 13s, we've got 12s, girls, we've got 13 boys. We have 2016 boys and girls. And then there's going to be some developments come out moving forward that I'm going to have 18 girls. And then we have 2011 girls. So we've got a really good mix of boys to girls ratio. Now, I know that doesn't sound as fancy as having an age group and having a team in every age group, as I say. But what we have and what we've grown is pretty special.
That's awesome. Because your 2013s is one of the teams I follow, just because we know a lot of the players within your club at the age group, because my son used to play with them. They have very successful little team there. So your top 2013 boys teams.
Yeah, no, I'm delighted for those. I'm delighted for my dad. I'm delighted for the kids. And I'm delighted for the parents as well, because as we get further into our conversation, you're going to find out more things about where I'm taking this and what I'm doing and what my goals are going. Well, I don't do goals, I do plans. So what my plan is moving forward, then I think it's going to be something that could really take off on this side of the city, especially for that, since we're talking about it, that 2013 boys team. I think they've done incredible over the last 5-6 years. I remember when I started that little group, it was like a 12-13 mix, and then went into 13. And then I wanted my dad to take it over because I saw how much potential they had. And I'm really happy with that direction. They've done so, so well competing against your player shares and your 30 deep rosters. And we've only had one or two subs at games because of different reasons for injuries and all that, and they've got 18 on their roster or whatever. So I'm really happy that they've stuck through it. And I'm, again, as I said, broken record, but I'm really delighted for the group and my father.
Awesome. So now we're going to jump into your culture within the club. So I think this is an important topic because we're leading into the tryouts. This will be part of everyone gets to hear this beginning of the tryouts culture. What is the culture and philosophy that you all have and you tried to build within the club? Because I know it's hard. It doesn't matter if you're three coaches or 110 teams and 75 coaches.
It sounds so cliche, right? But this is what every coach is going to say or every club owner is going to say. Culture is everything. But the culture comes from the top, and that's what I create. And that's what I give into my coaching staff. That's what goes into the kids, and that goes into the parents, right? I don't think there's ever a perfect culture out there, because my culture might be different to a BVB, a Sting, or a Texans. But what I feel like what culture is to me is making sure that the player that is on your group is comfortable, confident, and ready to come in and do work. And I don't mean work as in going mental, but I mean working hard for themselves, working hard for their team, and working hard for their parent as well. Because at the end of the day, that's why they do it, right? They just want everybody to be proud of them. From a philosophy standpoint, I'm big on the development side, to be quite frank, and big on development from a soccer standpoint, but big on the mind as well. And I had a meeting today, actually, with a group of parents, and I said, the game's so changed now that I think the game is actually 90% mental and 10% talent. Because without the mental side of the game, you've got no chance. So in looking back into my philosophy, I really think that looking after these kids to give them an opportunity to express themselves and then bring that back in, and that's the culture that I want the kids to feel, and I want the parents to feel that they have the ability to feel that from myself and my coaching staff.
So as we're diving a little bit deeper into the culture then, so how do you feel the culture is driven? Is it driven top down, bottom up? How is it driven within the club?
Define driven. Do you mean from the kids, or do you mean from the staff, or do you mean from myself?
So you have the top, which brings in the culture they want to have.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the coaches listen to what the top says. Coaches have to implement it.
Yep.
Now, is it driven by... Obviously, it's the top of the club driving the culture they want. But is it the players that are driving the culture that the top wants, and the coaches are the gardener, so to speak, instead of the drill sergeants?
I don't think kids are able to drive a culture. I think the culture comes from the top, and that comes from what I've put in place. And then that comes in from what I've expressed, what I like, and to my staff, and I'm an open book. Like, everybody knows I'm an open book. I like the kids to feel a certain way, but that has to come from myself, and it has to come from my coaches as well. But I only work with people that I trust, because that's big in the game as well. I've learned from the age of 13 that you can't really trust anybody in this game, because it's so cutthroat. Doesn't matter if you're in the States, you're in Europe, you're in select, you're in college, it's very, very cutthroat. So the people that I've brought in the areas that they work in, or the teams that they coach, is because I trust them. And that comes from me creating that culture to give back to them, or that philosophy to give back to them, so they can implement that, and then the kids feed into that. I see some games where you can really tell that there's not a culture there in that squad. It's a lot of individualism. And then I look at the coach and I'm like, okay, I can see where that's coming from. I like the opposite of that. I like structure. I like it to have the kids to be able to bond with a coach, because I think it's really important.
Maybe I phrased it wrong. So I look at culture as the way I'm trying to describe bottom-up culture. So you have the culture that you want to be there, driven. The coaches are there to foster the culture. The players are there to enforce the culture, so to speak. So if you're looking at, you can't do this with a bunch of 6 and 7 year olds. I'm more looking at the select ages, U11 and up, because at the end of the day, that's where the cost drastically goes up in cost for parents here in North Texas and other parts of the country. It's different ages groups. U13, sometimes it starts at.
To answer that question, I think coaching is a lot more than just teaching them how to play soccer. The culture you create is what are you teaching these kids to do on a soccer field and also off the soccer field? as small as like getting the car door for their mother or getting the car door for their sister or how they shake a hand after a 50-50 challenge or saying thank you to a ref or making sure you shake the other team's hand after the game. The kids, we are, coaches, I'm sure a lot of the coaches I speak to, we need to truly understand how big of an impact that we are doing for these kids. Does that make sense? Because
yeah.
In some capacity, outside, for me example, outside of their father or their grandfather or their legal guardian, they look at me as some sort of father figure, right? That might sound a little bit extreme. Let me take that back. They look at me as some sort of figure in their life that they're going to look up to. Like, for example, I was talking to a parent yesterday and they're like, CJ, I have this vision that you take my daughter all the way to graduation and you're going to be at my daughter's wedding. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that culture. So obviously I've done something right where I've embedded myself into this culture where I'm trying to teach kids how to be better, not only at a sport, but as a human being as well.
I think that's where I'm trying to get to, because I'm not going to lead you there. Coaches have so much more influence than anyone believes. I have this argument all the time with coaches. I can convince you that coaches can convince my child if they went and said, you have to make your bed every single day.
100%.
And, or if you're doing a play, or you have to go home and wash your boots every single night.
100%.
They will go home and do it. I can ask them a million times to do it. But the coach has that different role within their life because it's a different avenue.
These kids from the ages of when they can truly understand 7, 8 to the ages of 16 and 17, maybe that's a bit too, maybe 14, 15, they're looking at you as a god.
Yes.
They are looking at you as a god. But they look at what you wear, what you're doing, what you say, how you carry yourself. You are a role model to these children. And I said this again, Brock and I had a meeting today with a group of parents and I said, I just don't want to be your son's soccer coach. I want to be somebody that your son can find in, can talk to. Obviously, there's a coach to kid relationship. Be a friend, be a leader for these kids that they feel like they can trust you. Because the more that they trust you, the more effort they're going to give you on a Saturday and a Sunday in a game. There's more effort in a training session. I've had kids that have confided in me about their life more than their own parents, for example. Right, so that tells me that I've created that culture for that player that they can implement what I've asked them to do, how they are as a person towards their peers and their teammates. But I can put my head in the pillow tonight and think I've done something right in the world to look after these kids.
Right. I think parents need to have a little bit more eye awakening to that conversation with the coaches, because
100%. But that's the
and culture. Coaches. That's the coach has to be doing
in this country. Or let's go to scale it back, North Texas, where it's all about money now, mate. Like, there's so much turnover now that every single year, everyone's going there. I don't see any family anymore. Like, I don't see the family side of it. I don't see kids growing up together. I'm going to take my kid there, and then I'm going to take my kid there, and then there's hype over here, so we're going to go over there. Everyone's looking for the bigger, better deal. All the time.
And I think you have to take a step back. We have joined, I don't know how to describe it. So over the years, we don't look at the coach. Like, we as parents have really drastically changed how we have approached the coach side of the thing. It's yep. Not the badge on the jersey. It's not the badge on the sleeve.
Nope.
Is the coach the one going to develop? And at the end of the day, is this coach the right fit for my player in this moment? And I hate to say it, it's not a loyalty to clubs anymore for parents. And I honestly, everyone who I've ever talked to at a very high level, it's like you can't have loyalty to a club, unfortunately, because if they allowed Coach X to do whatever they're doing, I guarantee you the other coaches are doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And it's finding, then once you do find a coach that's very successful, why are they successful? Is it because the club has allowed them to do what they want to do? Or is it because they are standalone and they will do whatever they want to do because they believe that's what's right? And that's really hard to find where both sides meet.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. And obviously being a smaller club, that I don't really have to deal with that dynamic just as much. And that's probably the way I like it, to be quite frank with you. I think... See your 15, 16, 17s, 18s, 19s, 20s parents they are completely different to your 93s, 94s, your 2000s, your 2001s, 2002s, your 2008s, 2009s. Like, the change in the parents over the last couple of years has been drastic. And I would like to just tell them that they've got to really think big picture. I feel like the kids now, especially on the parent side, they want instant gratification after 6 months. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't matter if that team has more social media followers than the other one. It doesn't matter if they're playing 4v4 and 7v7 and they're ranking on GOT Sports 1 and 2 and 3. It doesn't matter. Find yourself a coach that you trust. Find yourself a team that their kid gets along with them, right? The parents don't have to get along. Obviously, it's better if the parents get along, don't get me wrong, but the kids have to gel, and they have to gel together, and they have to gel with the coach. If you can find a coach that you trust and he puts 100% into the kids and the kids give 100% to the coach and they're developing and they're getting better and better, stick with that instead of a team that's getting gold medals at some tournament that's lesser player to just recruit kids to get more money in.
So that being said, how do you go about coaching education and bringing this type of culture to your coaches? And how do you...
It's just fully transparent, mate. Just be transparent with the coaches and transparent with the parents. But you're only going to keep so many happy. You're only going to keep so many parents bought in before they fall for the trap.
I can only use my daughter as the example because this is my favorite example to use. She's played with her little squad now for about 2.5 years, mm-hmm. maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less. And for the first 18 months, they're playing 4v4. They just struggled. And sometime this past fall, let me think about what we're talking. Yeah, this past fall, they were playing 4v4 and it just clicked. Yeah. Everyone just clicked. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing to see. They went from being just walloped every single time they touched the pitch to walloping the other teams. And the only time they were being beat is because, I'll be honest, in my opinion, coaches are cherry picking players to bring in to have talent. I don't think they're truly developing these kids. I think these kids are being developed at home and these coaches are just lucky. And you're talking 2017. You're not talking very old kids here. And watching this dynamic go on, and then now they jumped to 7v7. It wasn't a jump because they wanted to jump. It was, we're doing good enough in 4v4. We're getting all the touches. We play enough. We're doing well enough. And now we're going to go play 7v7 and see if we can do the same thing.
Yeah.
And now we get to play 7v7 even longer because we jumped a year early. And I think parents need to take a step back. Is that if the development's there, why hold on to the next phase? We spent 18 months getting our butts handed to us, week in and week out. But we believed in what the coach was telling us. We believed in what she has done for these players. We could see the improvement.
Half the battle. See, if you have that, don't let it go.
And that's the thing. It's like we had the core three kids that have been there since the beginning. Then the team slowly had new kids come in and kids leave because the parents that were leaving was because they wanted their kids scoring goals and winning. This is just me listening to them on the sideline. I can't be 100% honest if that's the truth, but from listening to how they behaved on the sideline, listening to how they acted, and that really, it's bothersome because at the end of the day, it's truly not about the kid anymore. It's about the parent's ego.
110%. Now we're going to go into something here that really gets me, pardon me, wound up. It's all about ego now. It's completely changed. It's all about ego and how many trophies you can get and medals and how many points we can get for GOT Sport rankings. It's just bizarre. It's just really bizarre.
And that's the thing. I don't remember the last time I looked at a GOT Sport rating, to be honest.
I don't look at it, mate. I'll be really frank. And the parents won't like it when I say this, but I actually could not care what ranking my kids have at 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. It's nice to say to the kids, oh, well done, you're working hard. Guess what? You've got X. And it's good to have that little bit of reward there. But when these parents get to, when their kids are like 13 and 14 and they've realized that it doesn't mean anything, they're going to look at themselves like, was I really like that? And I'm going to be like, yes. Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's, as long as we're evolving as parents, we're in a good place. But going back to the club and club culture, now, do you hand out or do you explain your cultures to the families coming into the club? Do you explain more of how you are going to do things?
I've got your standard. I've got my player code of conduct. I've got my parent code of conduct in the documents that I hand out in July 1st or whatever it is. There's no way they don't know what my plan is. I'm very clear. I'm very passionate about the game. I'm very passionate about coaching children. I'm passionate about extremely passionate about how kids feel. And obviously it goes up and down. Like, it's not always rainbows and butterflies, and there's ups, there's peaks, there's valleys, there's a whole shebang. But any parent that's played for me over the years, they might say X, but they're never going to say that I've never cared about their children.
Now, looking at how you have your parent code of conduct, how do I describe this? We have extreme parents in North Texas and crazy parents here in North Texas. I know that some parents sit there and scream at their kids the whole entire time. I'll be honest, I sit there and scream at the officials the whole entire time because I don't feel like it's right to yell at my kid. Yeah. No problem. I have to yell at someone. I know it's a bad trait to have, trying to get better. How do you handle then parents that are out of control? I'll be honest. If parents from officials to players to yelling at how they should be doing something, because at the end of the day,
this might sound crazy to you, but I think maybe because I am a smaller club, I don't have a lot of those issues with my parents. I feel like my parents and I have a mutual respect for each other because we know that if we get a bad rap with other teams, we're not going to be able to recruit. And it's already been hard enough to recruit kids without having the platforms that the bigger clubs can provide. So I always ask my parents, listen, can you guys please do me a favor? Can you please be on your best behavior? Because you're only hurting your own kid if we get a bad reputation around town. Now, are you going to have one or two incidents? 100%, but I'm not going to hold that against the parents. If it's that bad, if it doesn't matter if it's big or small, let me rephrase that. I go and have honest conversations with my parents and set the standard from the start. Now, some parents have left and said, oh, CG's too close to his parents. Some people stay because they think they like how close I am to the parents. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I always make sure that my parents feel like they have a voice. They can come talk to me. We can have a mutual conversation where we have the same end goal. I've been very lucky over the last. I've got a couple. Everybody has a couple that some things pop up, but I could never say that I have bad behaved parents. And if they do, you know what? You take that back. I've had one parent that over the last probably 3 years made up all these lies or whatever and said X, Y, and Z. And I just said, listen, this is not the right club for you. I'm trying to create an environment that's more family-based where kids can come in and feel confident and happy. What you're doing isn't what I believe in. You're free to go.
That's a hard thing to do because I think...
Kills me, mate. It absolutely kills me that I have to let a player go because their parent cannot act right, if that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense.
I hate losing players. Obviously, we're sitting here on May 4th, and you know what time it is. I actually lose sleep over it, mate, because, again, had the same meeting with a group today. I bond with these kids. I don't look at it as a paycheck. I don't look at it as money coming in. I truly bond with these children and learn about them and put the time in. Now, everybody is passionate about the game. They have different tempers and they have, you yell at a kid for doing X, Y, and Z. Not yell at them, but you coach them, you shout and you get passionate and you're not perfect all the time, but I truly care about every single kid that wears my jersey. Doesn't matter if they've left or whatever. Every kid that's wore my jersey since I started this company, I started the club, I truly care about.
I think that's a noble thing to be able to have and do as a coach, because most I feel like a lot of coaches connect with players, but some of them take it very personal if they leave. And I get that after you do have a connection, but at the same time, it's not always the kid that's making that decision. It is.
I'll be actually be completely honest and vulnerable with you, mate. In the beginning, I used to take it so personal if a kid left. So personal. It used to break me. It used to really, really upset me. But now I've realized that you're never going to keep everybody happy. It's impossible. And that's one of my biggest things, that I like to have everybody happy. I like to have everybody around me happy. The atmosphere's good. Everyone's in the same direction. But I've realized over the last couple of years, it's never going to happen, mate. I just have to bond, and then they move on, and you start the project all over again. And that's what I've accepted.
So as you're going through this process with the club, how do you encourage coaches? Do you encourage them to get part of this process of growing and evolving, deals with parents and having experiences? But on the other side of this coin is coaching education. Is there an avenue that you recommend for coaching education? I know I have my opinion on the coaching licensing here in the United States compared to the rest of the world. And I know we're behind. Just look at how they did U.S. soccer did this past year. Oh, we aren't going to make any decision on age. We're going to let the leagues make the decision.
Yeah.
I kind of chuckled.
Yeah, they probably realized how much money was involved with all the changes, and they've panicked. Let's be really honest about it. How much chaos that's going to cause with one message being sent out instead of having the plan before it, in my humble opinion. Coaching education. If the way I am as a business owner or in business, I always ask people who have done it questions. So if I was a young coach, or I was a coach starting out, or I've a seasoned coach, I would go speak to somebody that has a UFAA or UFAB license and ask them the questions. What would you recommend for me if I want to do X, Y, Z moving forward? Ask people questions who have already done it, who you believe in and who you respect, what to do, and then do that.
I think that's a very hard thing to do. I don't care what level you're at. I think listening to other people and not opening up your mouth, I think we're all guilty of that at times.
You've got to take your ego out of it, right?
And I always joke, there's four egos on the pitch. There's the player's ego, there's the coach's ego, there's the parent ego, and there's the official ego.
Yeah, everyone's got an ego. But if you truly want to learn in this sport, from a player standpoint or a coach or maybe even a parent, you got to let your ego go aside. Now, there's going to be people listening to this as you put it out there, and like, CJ, you've got an ego? Yeah, everybody has an ego, but when it comes to learning new things or learning how somebody else that I respect has done it, and everyone gives you advice because they don't want you to make the same mistakes. So if I went to a coach that had the UFAA, UFAB, or maybe their pro license or whatever, if I respect them to go to them, I'm going to listen to them. And then you take some of their ideas that they're giving you, and you implement your own.
I have to give you props. You got to work with Paddy Gallagher. I really enjoyed my time chatting with him that I've had.
Yeah, I mean,
learning a lot from that man was amazing.
If you ask my dad, right, and my dad's been coaching here for 20 years, right, I've had some of the top coaches. Hassan's coached me, Clint Kraft, Hudjo, David Doyle's. I've had Marcio. I've had Willie Milano, Rick Moss, John Syme. Remember Fudgy, Paul Robinson, before he went back home. Paddy Gallagher's probably got some of the best sessions that I've ever came across in my life, and I remember doing those sessions when I was younger. But if you ask anybody, ask my dad. If you ever see my dad at the facility, ask him who's the best coach in North Texas for sessions, and I guarantee you'll say Paddy Gallagher.
I had the chance that he was one of my beginning of my time doing my podcast, and I actually sat across from him at his dining room table, and I was just in awe, like my jaw just listening to him the whole entire time. And like you said, like listening to what he had to talk about. I think the better coaches in time listen and they don't talk. And I think we as parents need to take the same advice as great coaches, is listen and do not talk. So as we're progressing through this process with your coaches, you said you're on the west side of town. So whereabouts are you on the west side of town? Because we can talk all day on philosophy and culture.
Oh, 100%. So all my training sessions are off motorway 35 highway 35 in Golden Triangle. So we're based in North Fort Worth, over by where the Lifetime Fitness is. They do a big gym.
Yes.
So, we use the church fields over there. So we've got lights, we've got, the grass is okay. It's not like a carpet, you know what I mean? It's not like SMU's park, but it's all right. And the reason why I done it there was because I can get kids from Hazlitt, I can get kids from Justin Trophy Club, I'm going as far as Rome, and then you're getting the catchment from South Fort Worth. So it's right in the middle, it's easy access to the highway going north, south, and you're getting kids from Keller as well, going into Trophy Club, obviously, going into Westlake. And some, I've had a couple from Grapevine, but there's so many teams, right? There's so many teams in this small pocket. And so many, there's big clubs, but they've got so many teams around. Most of my catchment area is that North Fort Worth, right next to the highway.
I've seen your facilities. I haven't been out there in probably a year, maybe a little bit longer. What other, so do you have, I know you have 1, 2, 3, I think at least 4 or 5 full-size fields, if I'm not mistaken, out there. Do you have it broken down to smaller fields, or do you just make them all 11v11, play small-sided games on them? I know you have a few nets out there. I don't remember what's all out there.
Obviously, I don't own the land, so I can't really do what I want. You know, it'd be a different story if I owned the land, but I don't. So I have to be very respectful. Obviously, it is church grounds as well, so I need to be respectful of that also. But I would say that myself and my staff have really good plans when it comes to breaking down the training sessions, and we'd be like it. I want to put on the record, obviously, I don't see any turf over this side of the city other than the pit at Roanoke. Obviously, it's been changed now, but my ultimate goal now as I move forward is to find probably 10, 20 acres and put 3 full sides on there, and then a couple of 7v7s and a couple of 4v4s. Good parking, obviously, and good bathrooms, and make a little facility.
That's good to hear. So then all of your resources are right there. They're all shared, relatively simple. Nice to hear that you have your own lights.
Yeah, that's the key. That's the key here, right? So that if you, and that's for anybody wanting to start their own club, or anybody at a big club that's been asked to go find a training area or whatever, you've got to have lights to last. In the real estate world, we call it, you've got to list to last. In the soccer world, you've got to have lights to last. Because if you don't have lights when it comes November, December, you're struggling.
You can't continue doing practices or anything like that.
Because yeah, there's just no way. There's no way.
As you're going through you have your facility, is there any other fields that you use, or is that just your what we can call DFW United's Mecca for now?
I would call that, for now, I would call that DFW United's home. I'm working on a lot of things behind the scenes to grow this. But as for right now, the church fields are the home of DFW United.
The parking lot's huge. You have tons of parking. It's easy access to get in and out. My son did I-9 there and for years, and did some private lessons there for years. So it's a good facility overall. I'll vouch for it for everyone.
At the end of the day, it has everything that I need, but I want perfection. You know what I mean? My ultimate goal since I started, again, I don't do goals, I do plans. It was my ultimate plan to have the perfect facility with the grass, a little bit of turf, the bathrooms. I'm a perfectionist, to be really quite honest with you. I like things to a certain standard and professional. So great facility, does the job, but I want more. Does that make sense?
I totally get that feeling. I've been in the soccer world for about going on 6 years, maybe 6.5. And from the time my son started to play with soccer ball and he switched to club soccer, I constantly am looking at commercial real estate within the Metroplex on this side of town. There's 120 acres here. There's 10 acres here. Could you turn that into a soccer? How many soccer fields does that turn into? So I get it. I look at everything. So if parents, just so you understand, like to have a full size soccer field, it's about 1.3 acres. That's with enough side for sitting area on the side and a full size pitch. You're talking 110 yards by about 75 to 85 yards wide. Yep. So to give you an idea how much land it takes, it's about 1.3 acres,
1.4 acres per field, isn't it?
What is it?
What is it not? Don't they say it's like 1.1 acre per field or something?
Per field, yeah.
Right. And I think the magic number is 3. If you want to be on it, like 3 fields, because you can get full 3 11v11 games on. Then if you want to really scale it, you can half it and do 9v9 or 7v7. Right. That's what a lot of things happen in Europe outside of the club, like more in the grassroots football. They use one big 11v11 and they split it up into
correct
for the kids.
Yeah, because to give you an idea, two 9v9 fields is the equivalent of two half fields of 11v11. Then you can put four 7v7 fields, and then you can fit almost six or eight 4v4 fields in a full-size 11v11.
They're saying it's about a million a field now, isn't it? If you get good quality, you're looking at probably a million per pitch.
1.4.
1.4.
Right. If you're doing everything correct, it might be up to 1.7. So to give people an idea, so I mean, that's if you're doing turf or grass, depending on which way
you want. Let's talk about that, right? If you want to get into this now, how much rain? Is it just me, or do you feel like we never play anymore?
There's been so much rain this season. It's been horrible.
This season, last season, the season before that, there's been so much rain at the turn of the year. I'm surprised that none of these leagues are putting turf fields in. If they have the money, if these big clubs are generating 10 million a year, 12 million a year, why are they not putting more turf fields in? It's a no-brainer to me. I don't understand it.
I won't make my comment on that one. I'll make a lot of people mad at me.
That's why I tried to get you there instead of you getting me there, you know what I mean?
But people get the idea. Like, but it's not even the league. The clubs don't own it. The clubs rent, majority of the clubs rent their fields, rent their facilities. It is a different entity that owns it with, this is the little bit of the shady side of things. So someone else owns the league, the fields, the leagues rent it from this entity that is associated with the league. And at the end of the day, that's not always the case because the leagues are getting so big now that they have to have more and more fields that there's not enough. And that's the other thing, we have an issue here. We don't have enough fields to supply.
That's what I'm saying from a business standpoint. If I had an extra 5-7 million lying in the bank, you better bet your bottom dollar I'd be putting soccer fields out there on the west side of the city because it's crying out for it. Absolutely crying out for it.
We have to drive to Melissa, which is an hour and 10-minute drive, and then Fairview from here, which is about an hour drive from this side of town. I just don't get... And the quality... Melissa's a little different. There's more turf there than grass fields.
Yeah.
But driving out to Fairview, it sprinkles. They shut those fields down, and they are not the highest quality. Nothing against the group that owns them. It's just...
You know what's going to happen now? This is going to come out on Facebook and some guy with a ton of money is going to come in and put all the fields in the side of the city and then our business plan is gone. And then we're going to have to go to Oklahoma or something and do it.
I hope you all have enjoyed this week's episode. I know there's a lot going on in the world of soccer. We're getting ready for tryouts. This is, if you're part of the DFW Metroplex, this is a club that you can always go check out. They're local and they're right here in our backyard. And if you have any questions, look for them on social media or other ways of finding them.
Hey, everyone. If you guys have enjoyed this podcast, have enjoyed what I've been trying to do, the messages that I'm putting out there, please give me some ratings, some stars on all the podcast sites that you listen to this on. Give me a review, share this, share with others. The more I can make this grow, the more I can continue doing this. I'm really trying to make a difference in our soccer community. So I hope you guys have enjoyed all this. And until next time, I'll see you at the pitch.